Where do we go from here? The effects of grief are indescribable. One can be in a normal routine, and at random, grief can overwhelm you. I've learned more intimately that grief can strike you so forcefully that one will even question their overall direction and purpose in life. Y'all bear with me. I'll be honest. When I thought about what I was going to preach, my initial mindset was to go to the calendar and look at what we had planned and just start in that series. But the Spirit was like, no, you have to face what you're dealing with. And so in the case of Israel, this too was their exact disposition in the death of Moses. In the final chapter of the Pentateuch, Deuteronomy 34, we read of Moses' transition at the age of 120. The Bible says there, Moses was 120 years old when he died. The text says that his eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel, watch this now, it says they wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses in Deuteronomy 34, 7 and 8. When you look at this time in this text, one could imagine both the frayed and fragmented mindset of Israel. I mean, think of their hearts and their mind. The only leader that we've ever known is gone. When we cried for generations to God, held captive by the Egyptians for 400 years, the man that God sent by the name of Moses, he's gone. I mean, hear their hearts. Our advocate with the Father is no longer present. Oh, when we were in the depths of the wilderness, when we were hungry, we talked to Moses, and Moses talked to God. When we were thirsty, we went to Moses, and Moses somehow would talk to God. He would advocate for us. And so now our advocator is gone. Where do we go from here? Amid the insurmountable grief of Israel, in this text lie gems of gratitude divinely designed for our spiritual therapy and healing. 2 points that I offer, and I'll get out of your way, but I promise you I won't be long. The text says there in Joshua 1 and 2, the first point that we see, and it's real simple. Number one is that God speaks. Somebody say speaks. Yeah, God speaks. If you're tuning in online, type in that word, speaks. Right here in the text, the Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them to the children of Israel. Is that in your Bibles? When dwelling in the nucleus of grief, if you've been here and you've lost a loved one a time or two, voices of many are frequently heard. Y'all gonna help me this morning? You know, you got a lot of people calling you and texting you and giving you advice, and some voices are encouraging, others, they probably shouldn't have said anything to you at all. Y'all been there before. Somebody say amen when you can. And so some mean well, but some may not know what to say. Right. And so you have some who simply say, I'm praying for you. Others, they'll give the line, if you need anything, what, just, y'all been there. Others, instead of praying for you, they'll actually pray on you. Lord have mercy. In times when you think everyone would be for you, there are some that actually thrive off your heartache, that thrive off of your pain, that they're looking forward to seeing you break. But amid the variety of voices, I'm thankful for the voice of God. Y'all ain't gonna help me this morning. Again, I said I'm thankful for the voice of God. see him in the text. The Bible says there again, following Moses' death, God what? Spoke. God spoke to Joshua. What did he say? Arise. Go over this Jordan. Now the thing is, when in grief, I've learned that many attempt to create and enforce a timeline on how long one should grieve. Yeah. Lord have mercy. Yeah. However, in the text, you know, people will say, oh, well, you know, it's been a couple weeks now. You ought to get back here. Well. You've been away for a while. Shouldn't you come and clock back into the job? And so some, again, they'll attempt to enforce a timeline. And I'm thankful that none of you did that to me and my family. And so God bless you. And again, I praise God for you again, for your patience with me, and my father and our family. And so again, but there are others who will try to tell you how long you should grieve. Oh, it's been a long time. You shouldn't be crying right now. But again, in this text, only God could speak to Joshua. Listen, there was a whole body of people, but notice that the text says no one else came to Joshua but God. And so even in grief, there's power in the word of God. Somebody ain't hearing me this morning. Oh, I've learned when you go back even in grief and heartache, when you look at the word of God, it's through the word of God that demons tremble. Oh, through the word of God, there's power for the paralytics to walk. Y'all remember when Jesus told the paralytic at the pool of Siloam, what? To rise, take up your bed, and walk. Somebody not helping me this morning. Oh, through the word of God, the deceased are resurrected. There in John 11, 35, Lazarus was dead for not just one day, not two, not three, but four. But at the mere voice of God, Jesus said, Lazarus! Come forth. Told the grave close to what? Loose him and let him go. Again, there's power in the word of God. Oh, through the word, the blind are able to see. Oh, through the power of God's word, dry bones can live. Y'all not hearing me this morning? Through the word of God, there's power that the winds and the waves behave at his command. Y'all remember there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples were there and the winds and the storms were heavy and they were raging. But God just got up and with his voice, with his word, he said what? Peace be still. There's power in the word of God. And that same power that we see all across scripture is exhibited even in the case of Joshua, Israel, and their grief. Again, be mindful. Only God could speak to Joshua. And only God could command him to move forward. Think about it. God, why are you telling Joshua to move forward? God, the hearts are broken. God, the only leader that they've known is gone. God, they don't know anybody else. This is all that they've ever had in respect to them coming out of Egyptian captivity. God, why would you tell Joshua and Israel to move forward? On the practical level, there's a number of reasons why. Number one, when you talk about grief, when you sit in grief too long, I've learned that grief paralyzes progress. I'm gonna say that again. Again, when you sit in grief and wallow in it too long, grief will paralyze progress. Look at the text again. Israel, in the grand scheme of things, they were en route from Egypt to where? The promised land. Again, right here, when you go back to the previous book in Deuteronomy 34, they were literally on the bank of the promised land. And right when they got there, Moses died. And so instead of moving forward, they grieved for 30 days. And so God divinely understood, yes, wow, you need your time to grieve. Don't forget the plan that I've always had in place. All right. And so again, we must understand practically that grief, when you sit in it too long, it will paralyze the progress that God has divinely planned for you. Again, they were on the banks of the promised land, and they had a moment to pause. Secondly, not only do we see that grief paralyzes progress, we also see practically that grief lessens the Lord. Okay. The issue with sitting in grief too long, when you remain in severe grief, one naturally focuses on the deceased instead of God. Hard pill to swallow. But again, grief, severe grief, lessens the Lord. Again, when you lose a loved one, you're gonna grieve all the time. It's never something that you learn to get over, but you just learn to get through it every moment, every day. Amen. And so, but when you grieve severely, grief will allow you to focus too much on the life that was called instead of focusing on the life that God is still calling for you to live. Y'all still with me? And so it's important, if you don't get anything else, listen for the voice of God. Yes, grieve as long as you must, but listen for God's voice. God will teach you. God will instruct you when it's time to move forward. God is the voice that's going to help you cope, that's going to help you get through trying times. Y'all all right? And so again, number one, we learn the blessing of God speaking. Y'all all right? Secondly and lastly, in the text that we see according to Joshua 1, verse 2 and 5, the second point is that God supports. Somebody saying God supports. Yeah, God supports. Tuning in online, typing that word, supports. Right here in the text, Joshua 1, 2, and 5. The Bible says there, when he spoke to Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Drop down to verse 5. God told Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Watch this now. And the really point is, God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. In addition to God's verbal affirmation, he furthers this affirmation via his presence. Again, look in the text. Moses has passed. The people mourn for 30 days. Watch this now, the beauty of this text, and you don't really look at it like this. The beauty is, Moses died, right? People grieve for 30 days. They're heartbroken, they're sad, but after God spoke to Joshua and Joshua got himself together and was ready to move, when Joshua looked around, there was still a people to pastor. Somebody still didn't get it. Again, Moses died. The people, including Joshua, the whole congregation, they all grieved his death for a month. God spoke to Joshua, and by the time Joshua got up to lead and looked around, he still had a people to pastor. Somebody still don't get it. Normally, when someone of great magnitude dies, people leave. But even though they are grieving, there's still some gratitude to be seen and experienced. Their hearts are broken. Joshua was close to Moses. He worked closely with him. And so it was already enough of him to try to fill those shoes. And so when he stepped up, you can imagine the encouragement that he felt when he turned around and saw everybody that Moses led. They were still right there to follow and support. Listen, this is some things that I've gathered over the month of just being online. I was sitting there watching worship with my wife and daughter, and I said, Karen, I said, they don't even know how much they're blessing me. Again, when somebody dies of high caliber, people normally leave. One of the things I told Karen, Daddy, I said, Daddy don't even know it, but Daddy's strengthening me. the fact that ever since Mama passed, I can look on this front row and see you right here. Daddy, you're my strength. And so even though your heart is broken, Daddy, the fact that you're holding on to God and your faith, Daddy, you're strength for me. And so I said, if Daddy can find strength to come and worship God, even though his soulmate is gone, I can come back and lead God's people. So Daddy, I appreciate you. And look around. Come back to the congregation and see that the church is still intact. That's a blessing in itself. Again, your patience, your long suffering with me is a blessing in itself. To come back and see that there are still people that are waiting to hear God's voice through me is humbling. And so from me to you, God bless you and I thank you. And so it's that support that goes a long way. It makes you want to come back. Get back in the groove. Get back into the ministry. Pick up where we, even though it's hard, but it's encouraging nevertheless. Again, Joshua, the beauty is that Joshua was not by himself. One of the things that the Spirit was communicating to me in my sabbatical was that, Ryan, understand that you're not the only one grieving. The church is grieving with you. To know that when one of us is crying, we're all crying. When one of us is happy, we're all happy. And so to have that communal and spiritual and physical support is a blessing in itself. To look out and see my father, to see my grandmother, to see my family still here and worshiping God in spirit and in truth is encouraging. It means more to me than you could ever know. And so this was a testament to the faith of Israel, but it's also a testament to the faith of this congregation. They were faithful to God, and they were supportive of Joshua. They understood, Joshua, look, we know you're not Moses, but we're going to follow you every step of the way. Right. Joshua, we understand you've got some big shoes to fill, but we're going to help you fill them, Joshua. You're not in this by yourself. The beauty is, in addition to the people and their presence, God confirms his presence as well in verse 5. Look what he said. God said to Joshua in verse 5, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. What do we see here in the text? We see, number one, that God is consistently faithful and true to his promises. God is consistent. God is the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he'll be the same tomorrow and forevermore. God is essentially telling Joshua, Joshua, understand that I've been a part of this body of people longer than you. I've been had planning for them. I've been preparing for their prosperity well before you stood up with Moses. And so he's telling them, as I was consistently with Moses, I'm going to be right there with you. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You ask the word questions, God, why did you feel you had to say that to Joshua? Well, keep in mind, Joshua was grieving. And when you're grieving, life is cloudy. You can't always see clearly. And so God had to remind Joshua, Joshua, you've already seen what I can do, and what I can do pales in comparison to what is coming next with you.
Keep in mind, Joshua, when the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites there in Exodus chapter number 15, you'll find that there in that text, Joshua was the leader of the army. But Joshua could confidently lead because when he looked up, he saw his teacher, Moses. And so God had to remind him, Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be right there with you. God, to me personally, as I was with your mother, I'm going to be right there with you. And that's a word to all of us. And the thing is, God had to remind me, Ryan, you're not the only one grieving. Well, before my mother passed, there have been many members of this church who have lost loved ones. I look at the grand family, cousin after cousin after cousin, loved one passing away. I'm not the only one. We're all grieving. We all have something going on in our lives. And so while I'm having my moment, I can't not forget that we're all in this together. And so God was telling Joshua, Joshua, if the people and their support is not enough for you, know that I'm right here with you, Joshua. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. What do we learn about God? And I love God and his people. But there's something beautiful about God. Even though God is all-knowing, God is stronger than the strongest, God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we learn in this text that grief and loss is not foreign to God. Look at the text in John 11:35. Even though Christ knew that he was going to resurrect Lazarus from the grave, the text says in John 11:35, what? Jesus wept. Why? Because Jesus sympathized with his loved ones. Lazarus was his friend. Lazarus was like a brother to him. And so even though he knew that in the coming moments, Lazarus would be alive again, but at the fact that there were people that loved him, people that thought he was gone for good, Jesus wept with his creation. Y'all not hearing me? Hebrews 4:15, the Bible says there, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all things tempted as we are, yet without sin. So again, in all of God's sovereignty and majesty, God still remains present with us. While support comes in various forms, no support compares to the support of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, if this lesson may not help you now, know that your time will come one day when someone you love dearly, God's going to call home. And if you don't get anything else, know that the best thing you can do, even though you fall down, you grieve, you cry, you scream, you shout, you mourn. Never let go of God's hand. Because God is going to be the one holding you. God is going to be the one carrying you when you don't have the strength to walk. The Spirit of God will be the one speaking and making intercession for you when you don't have the words to say to God. Many nights I couldn't even talk to God. But I'm thankful, as Jesus said in John 14, I would not leave you helpless. But I'll give you another comforter who makes intercession for us. And so if you don't get anything else, stay with the Lord. Somebody may ask the question in this text, where do we go? The answer is forward. You keep on going forward. We took a hit as a church, but we're going to keep on moving forward. A lot of things that Mama did in the ministry, but we're going to keep on moving forward. Some big shoes to fill, but we all gonna step up and continue to move forward. That's why when I talk with the committee and those who help lead, we're gonna still move forward with the projects that we have planned. We're gonna still move forward. We're gonna continue to put one foot in front of the other. Why? Because we have to move forward. Just like Israel, God had promises for them, and we can't allow grief to stunt the growth and the promises that God has for us. Even though we may work and toil in the midst of tears, heartache, and pain, we still will move forward.
Why? Because that's what our loved one would want, and most of all, that's what God desires for us. Because weeping, while it may endure for a night, what does the text say? Joy cometh in the morning. Maybe in the valley right now. Brother Morrison said the valley simply means that we're en route to somewhere. God is taking us from one blessing to another blessing, but you can't get to the blessing on the other side without going through the valley. So we're in the valley right now, but look to the hills from whence cometh our strength. But I also look to the hills because that's where God is taking us. God does not intend that we stay in the valley. But the beauty of being in the valley, like the song says, I found Jesus. I found him. I didn't find him on the mountain, but I found him in the valley. Yeah, I hear God's voice on the mountain, but I hear more clearly when I'm in the valley, when it's dark, when I feel like I'm by myself. That's when I heard God. That's when I found him. That's where I got my strength from. That's how I put one foot in front of the other. Why? Because when I'm in the valley, God helps me when I can't help myself. God pushes me forward when I don't want to move forward. Many nights I went to bed crying and wake up crying, but I say, if God be for me, who can stand? Against me. Come on, I'm done. Stand to your feet. Where do we go from here? The answer is forward. It will be hard. She will be missed. But while her physical presence is not here, her spirit is still here and alive with us. And so we keep moving forward because that's what God desires for us. We have things to do, places to go, milestones to reach. And we can't reach them if we sit still. Got to move forward. And so as God is pushing me forward, I pray like Joshua, I can continue to look out and see a body of people that's walking with me. Why? Because we're a family and we're a team. Maybe here's a member of the body of Christ. Again, I know I'm not in this by myself. Maybe you've been struggling. The thing is, when someone passes, it reminds us of some people that we lost. So it can get hard sometimes. And so maybe you're having a tough time dealing with this, and you need the counsel of God, the Godhead, and His Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide within you. You need prayer. This is the time for that. This is the time to come. Maybe you're not a member of the body of Christ, and you learn, you know what, through the hardest times, I need God. I've tried to do some things on my own, and I found I can't do it. Try, but I've always been unsuccessful. If you need prayer, you need baptism, this is your time to come. God desires that we all be saved. That's why he said, whoever has an ear, what? Let him hear. Come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Coming to him as you are, understand that as I come to God, I'm not trying to cover up anything. I'm not trying to put anything under the rug, but I'm coming to God just as I am, because that's how God loves. God loves you just as you are. But God loves you too much to leave you that way. God desires that all be saved. It happens through the act of baptism and puts you in the family of God. It gives you access to all that God is and all that God has for you. Tuning in online, you need prayer, go ahead and enter that. We are praying with you and we're praying for you. Whatever you desire, come on now while we sing a song of invitation.